Well, we are starting a series on relationships. That's right, relationships. That's like successful relationships. You know, the quality of our life is directly connected to the quality of our relationships. And we're going to look at the Bible for practical wisdom on how to have a successful relationship. I did notice this morning, like, I'm thinking it's a timely message, because I saw, like, Jay Bowen was sitting over there, and, like, Katrina Bowen was sitting over here, and I'm thinking, okay. But fortunately, they did get back together. They are sitting together now, which is a really good thing. But relationships, sometimes relationships, you know, they can be difficult, even at church. No, they're actually fine. They were just looking for a seat to sit in there. So we learn a lot of stuff. Like, I've learned a lot of stuff over my lifetime. At school, you learn so many things. You learn about maths. You learn how to read. You learn how to write. You learn about economics. You learn about geography. So many things you learn. But I don't ever remember learning how to have a successful relationship at school. I don't know whether that happened for you. I just didn't. In fact, I got bullied at school. That didn't help me at all where relationships were concerned, and it just taught me to withdraw from people, to not trust people. That's what I learned. So where can we learn about relationships? Because do you know what? To have a successful relationship takes a lot of hard work. It's work. It takes work. It just doesn't come fall on you. It's just not easy. Even when you have a relationship with someone, it is not easy to maintain that and increase it. It is not. If you don't focus on it, or if whatever you don't focus on, it starts to either stay stagnant or go backwards. And that's the same with relationships. So, you know, Jesus, he was the master relationship builder. He brought together a bunch of different people from different personalities, different careers, like fishermen, tax collectors, skeptics, opposite opinions. But he brought them together and he built them into a healthy community that had the same vision. He had no problem setting expectations or giving clear feedback or communicating it or eating around the table together with them. And he was great at conflict resolution. This is the Bible. Like in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself." Right there, in relationship, they are the commands, the most important. First one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to love God. You might be here today and you don't have a relationship with God. It's fine. Later on, I'm actually going to give you an opportunity to invite a God into your heart, a God that can come and bring change and hope and peace and love and joy into your heart. So love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then also love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see there, you actually have to love your neighbor as yourself, which means you need to have, you know, you need to be happy with yourself. You need to be happy with yourself, because when you're happy with yourself, you can be happy with others. If you're not happy with yourself, oh, it's very hard to have a relationship with others if you're not happy with where you're at or who you are or what you're doing. So love yourself so that you can love your neighbor. Now, there's lots of different types of relationships, but we need all sorts of relationships. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's a mouthful, in the Bible, they refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar, his idol, which showed their deep trust in God. They loved God with all their heart, soul, mind. Even if it meant facing death, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. But their faith and their loyalty to God and each other showed how strong their relationship was. They endured the greatest trials when it's built on shared beliefs. Again, with the shared beliefs. So there's three of them. They're thrown in the fire, but they're willing to die because they won't bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. They believe in God. They have faith in God. They're willing to die for it. I thought about that. You know, they're peers. We need peers. We need people who will walk alongside us when we're in the fire, that will be with us when we're in the fire. We need people. Who is beside you when you're in the fire, when you're going through trials, when things aren't going great at home, when things aren't going great at work or school or uni? Who is with you in the fire? Who's your Shadrach, your Meshach? I see, like, oh, Angie and Marie, yeah, you guys are like, you are peers down there. Marina Smith and Angie, like, come on. I see you nudging each other. And that's what it is. Who is your peer who will be with you in the fire? I often think, if there was just Shadrach there, would he have still done that?
Right. Wow.
If he was by himself, if he was alone, if it was all up to him, would he still have let them throw him in the fire? Do you see that when you've got peers, you've got strength? There's three of you or two of you, more than one. We're better together. More than one. I do think that. Now I think, would he still have done it? I mean, he probably would have, but I don't know. It's a lot easier when you've got someone beside you, alongside you. So we need peers. That's a relationship we need. We need Jethros. Yeah, not the hillbillies, if you're that old and you know about the hillbillies. No, Jethro is actually Moses' father-in-law. We need Jethro, you know, because Jethro, he celebrated Moses. When Moses was, you know, he celebrated, he lifted him up. But Jethro also, he gave him wisdom. He was like a mentor, like a coach for him. You know, like in the Olympics, like we've just seen the Olympics, but you know, no Olympic champion succeeds without a coach. There is no way. You know, try swimming around by yourself, and it's the coach that sees that your stroke is a little bit out. It's your coach that sees that maybe you're not flapping your feet properly. I don't know. Not flapping, whatever. Flippers. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying, but you can't see it, but your coach can. Your coach can. So you don't only need peers, you need a coach. You need a mentor. You need someone who can take you to where you need to go. Take you to your, whatever your Olympics are, take you to that place. You need a coach or mentor for that. So think about it. You know, we can have mentors at work. We can have mentors in our marriages. We can have mentors in our friendship. Who's going to help you get to where, whatever it is that you're learning? We need a mentor. We need someone we can look up to. I mean, Pastor John has definitely been a mentor for me. I've looked up to him. I mean, he's pretty tall, if you've seen Pastor John. Anyway, like he's 6'2" or whatever. But I look up to him, like, not only physically, but you know, I do. I look up to him. He's helped me. I mean, he's helped me. I don't think I'd be standing here if it wasn't for Pastor John. He's mentored me. He's helped me. And you know what? Not mentoring is not just telling you and celebrating you. Like I said, it's also giving wisdom, giving feedback, because it helps to just take, you know, the little flippy things out. You get what I'm saying? Get rid of those things that you don't need that can help you to where you're going. So we need peers and we need mentors. So how can we develop successful relationships? Okay, this is number one. Communication, communication, communication. Now, all you real estate people out there, tell me what helps with the value of property? Three things. Not communication. What is that? Oh, here we go. Russ, help us out here. Come on. Location, location, location. That's right. Location, it's very important, like, for the value of a property, where it is. Like, but a key to a relationship is communication, 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 really. Isn't it funny? Like, a lot of you do know about location, 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 about property, but have you ever really thought about the key to relationships is communication? So, you know, people are not mind readers. I've found that out. I mean, often I'll have a conversation in my head. And then at the end of it, I've like worked it all out and I'll go, oh, isn't that right, blah, 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 blah. And then people just look at me blankly. I'm thinking like, what? But that's just, people can't read your mind. We need to communicate. We need to communicate. And there's so many ways to communicate these days, but it's not necessarily mean that it is better. You know, we've gone to communicating face to face, to communicating thumb to thumb. We have, like, we text instead of talk. We text instead of a face-to-face conversation. Sometimes we just need to elevate our communication. Instead of texting, we phone and actually speak to someone. Or instead of phoning, we do a video call. Or instead of a video call, we do a face-to-face conversation. Like, I used to write letters. My grandmother, I used to live with my grandparents when I was 6 to 10. Then after that, my grandmother used to write me letters. So I used to write letters all the time. She'd write, I'd write. She would write, I'd write. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'd say most people under the age of 40 probably never, or 30 or whatever, never written a letter to somebody else. I don't know, because we've got lots of different ways of communicating. But I've got to tell you, I'm so grateful for those letters. Like, my grandmother has passed away, but every now and again, I'll read them because the encouragement that was written by her in those letters is powerful. Do you know there's letters in the Bible that were written like by Paul? And those letters were written, are so powerful, the words in there. That's why the actual written word is such an amazing thing. So I'm not saying to write letters, but what I mean is there is power when you actually can read something later on. Because some people's conversations, sometimes there's so much talking and going on, I don't even remember what the whole conversation was about. I'll remember parts of it. But when it's written, easy to remember. You know, when relationships are breaking down, they don't want to communicate. When you're having issues, don't want to communicate. You know, cold shoulder, silent treatment. Really, it's a thing. I mean, I know I've done it before, and I'm sure you've had it done to you as well. And you probably don't like the silent treatment. Like, no, it's like anger. They're just forms of anger, and anger will stop you from communicating. We've got to keep communicating. And do you know what? The sooner you communicate back, the better. I'm not saying immediately, you know, you get a text and, oh, I've got to send that back immediately. No, you know, there's a bit. But it's just like when you give someone a gift and you don't hear anything back, I immediately think they didn't like it. Do you see that? Do you see when there's no communication, you can jump to conclusions? That's insecurity right there. But no, but that's it. But you know, that's just an example of. But then that you do get some, like it might be a week later and you think, I just love that gift that you get. You think, oh my gosh, wouldn't you tell me that last week? Do you see communication is great? Like when you invite someone over for dinner and you don't hear from them for 4 days, you're thinking, they don't like me. They don't want to come to dinner with me. Do you see how important communication is? That's probably not the case at all. You've just got busy. But you know what? It's not an excuse for not communicating. So communicating actually breaks down walls. I had a picture, and we're going to pray for this later, of walls being broken down. I saw like this massive wall just starting to crumble and being broken down. And that's what communication can do, break down walls in relationship. Do you know there is invisible walls when you aren't getting on with somebody? You just, I'm hiding behind that wall. No, they didn't see me and I didn't see you. No. Do you see? Like, that's just so not cool. But what it does, it just makes you feel terrible when you can break down the walls and you break it down by communication. Because as soon as you start talking to someone about it, oh, things just melt. All of a sudden, those things that were hard and heavy on your heart just start to melt. And you think, oh my gosh, I love you. I love this person. Things start to melt when we communicate. And we, you know how we talk, there's that saying, get it off your chest. The minute you start talking about it, and all of a sudden, warmth comes, love comes, hope comes, peace comes. All those things come because we just talked about it. And do you know what? Sometimes you think, oh, but I don't know what to say. If I call them, what will I say? How will I start it? Just call. It'll come to you. It will come to you. Just call. Just do it. So develop an appreciation and a gratitude for people. You know, just be thankful for what people do and who they are. I mean, I am so grateful. Even like it says in Psalm 100, it talks about enter his gates with thanksgiving. Even with God, when we're praying, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you, God. You're amazing. I thank you that you've done this. Thank whatever it is. Let's be thankful and grateful. But we want to do that with people as well. I mean, I'm so thankful that we're here today. I'm thankful for our kids team and our creche team who are looking after the kids so that we can be here today hearing the word of God. I'm so thankful for Bonnie and Josh scoring. I mean, they're like refreshing. They're just like refreshing oil every time I speak to them. I mean, I'm thankful for Alicia. Where's Alicia Downs? Where are you? I'm thankful for Alicia. You know, her name's Alicia Downs, but I gotta tell you, if you're down, go and see Alicia. Because she will pick you up. She is such an encouraging person. Every time I go past her, she gives me a hug. She's like got an encouraging word all the time. Let's be thankful. Let's be grateful. Let our words, you know, praise people. Praise people. Be extravagant with your praise. Be over the top. Like you see somebody with a new haircut. Oh, new haircut. Hey, did you? That was Kiwi. Like, seriously. No, I just thought, new haircut. No, it's like, oh my gosh. See your hair. Oh my goodness. That color suits your eyes. No, whatever it is. But do you get what I mean? Be over the top. But genuine. I'm not saying be over the top and ridiculous and trying to have a go at someone. Not at all. Be extravagant with your praise. I mean, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for Des Bowman, who sits almost in the same place every service. You're at every prayer meeting. I'm so grateful for him. He brings strength into our church. I'm so grateful. I thank God for him. I thank God for Jason and Calissa. I love you guys. Out there in the car park making things happen. Just so amazing. There's so many incredible people. Let's praise people. Let's get it on the inside. Well, we want to be grateful. We want to thank people. That's when we communicate. Let it be just refreshing and beautiful and pick people up. Let our words pick people up. So in Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Let's use words that build up. Let's speak life to people. You know, words have the power to build up or to tear down.
Yeah.
But let's be builders.
Yes.
With our words. Let's build people up. Oh, I love it. Seeing you, Mavis, here. Love seeing you here too. I'm just so thankful for you. You've been around for so long. Ever since I've been here, you've been here. Yeah. Love you. Do you think, let your words build other people up. So listening is also very effective in communication. Oh, this is an ongoing lesson for me, I tell you. It is. I'm a lot better at it, but it is. Do you know often relationships suffer because people don't feel heard? Sometimes it's not about solving anything or fixing anything. It's just about listening. Just a listening ear can actually change somebody's heart.
Wow.
Listening. All right, so my first one was communication, communication, communication. That will lead to a successful relationship. Second thing is forgive or apologize.
Great.
You know, love the Lord and love your neighbor as you do yourself. Forgive and apologize. You know, we need to move past offenses. Holding onto grudges breaks relationships. But forgiveness brings healing It restores. You know, since sometimes we're waiting for the other person. No, they can say sorry first. Like, let them do it. Like, they did worse than me, so they can be first. Oh, just, who cares who's first? Just do it. Step up. You know, step up. Because when you step up, just take the step forward to forgiveness. Whether it's forgiveness, an apology, or kindness, be the first one. I'm going to do it first. I'm going to do it first. In Colossians 3:13, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You know, Jesus, he modeled forgiveness. When a woman got caught in adultery and was brought to Jesus, he told her accusers, let anyone without sin cast the first stone. And they left, all of them. Instead of condemning her, Jesus forgave her and said, go and sin no more, showing that his forgiveness, it brings both grace and the freedom for her life to transform. You know, we all make mistakes. We do. We all make mistakes and we all do things that can hurt others. When I first became a Christian, as I was journeying along, probably pretty early in my Christian walk, I realized how much I had not been a great role model to my kids. Oh, and it broke me. It hurt me. They were things that, you know, you do stuff and you don't even know what you're doing. You know, I didn't know any better. But I guess coming to Christ, I started to learn. And so what I did, I wrote a letter to each one of them. There's only two. I was thinking, this sounds like 50 people. Nope, there's two. Two children, two sons. One of them's here and he's awesome. Ivan, love you. And I wrote down all the things that I could think of that I'd done in anger, being short-tempered. Not just all the things that I'd done, but also all the things that I hadn't done. And I've got to tell you, it was hard. It was hard, you know, because I think there were a couple of pages each letter, probably more than that at the time. I wrote it down, and then I knew I had to write it though, because if I started saying it, I'd never get everything out. I'd never get what I wanted to out because I knew I'd just be in a blubbering mess and I'd do that. And I was still a blubbering mess. Like, there was a lot of tears, a lot. I sat with each one of them individually and just sat in their bedroom, on their bed, and read out this letter. Wow. There were heaps of tears, but there was so much healing. There was restoration. They were like 11 and 12. You know, I don't care how old someone is. If you've got hurts with that person and you need to apologize, just do it. Just apologize. There is healing in an apology. There is healing in forgiveness. There is healing in kindness. There's restoration. My sons, like, we've got a great relationship. We have, and we always have. But I'd say that marked the beginning of a greater relationship when I apologized, because I needed to. So communication, forgive or apologize, just say sorry. You know, we want to resolve conflict, face it, forgive, talk it out, and then put it behind us. That's the thing. Don't hold on to stuff. Ask for forgiveness and then move on. I know some of us, and I did for many, many years, have trouble leaving the past behind. I still felt guilty. I still felt ashamed for a long, long time. This weekend, we've got freedom experience. If you're having trouble leaving past hurts behind, you feel ashamed or guilty about anything, I suggest you get there. It's from 9 to 1 on Saturday. We'll hear a little bit about that. But I did. I did lots of different freedom things that helped me, because you... If you don't get rid of your past or sort your past out, it's going to sabotage your future. You don't want to do that. So receive prayer. Let it go. Come on. So those things, communication, forgive or apologize. And then the third thing is just showing up, or there-ness. Like there-ness means like just being there. Be there. Be there. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10, it says, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Be there. Successful relationships don't happen by accident. They require effort and time and willingness to grow together. And it's not built on massive big gestures. No, it's on small daily or regular things. Regular habits of kindness, of encouragement, of patience, of help, whatever it is in a practical sense. When I first went along to church, I didn't have any Christian friends, and it was awkward. You might be here today, and you might feel awkward. You think, like, yeah, I'm awkward. I felt awkward for ages because I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any relationships. I loved being here, but I felt awkward. And I remember talking to God like, oh, wow, you know, this church is just not friendly. It wasn't this church, by the way. But anyway, I thought I'd better sort that out. And it wasn't anything to do with the church that I was at either. Because God spoke to me and he said that you're not friendly. Ouch. We need to actually put ourselves out there. We want to be a part, like put yourself out there. Get in a group. You know, come along to Freedom Experience. Get on a team, as Beck talked about. Serve on a team. You get to know people. Just be there. Like, celebrate the good times and share the not so good times with people. You know, be happy with the people around you when they're happy, and weep with them when they weep. It's in the Bible. Be excited to celebrate each other. When someone buys a house, or when someone has a baby. Yeah. Baby people. Yeah, lots of babies. Like, that's everyone. I could look everywhere at the moment. We've got lots of new babies in the house. But when someone gets a new job, be happy. Like Tim, like you got a job, Gemma got a new job, lots of things. Like, be excited. Like, be excited for people. Celebrate people. Celebrate people. You know, be loyal. Show up when people are moving. Show up when people are sick. Show up when people are in time of need. And in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, it says, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. That is an incredible piece of scripture. Believe in people. Expect the best of them. And stand your ground in defending them. That just reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Believe in them. Stand beside them. Defend them. Defend their honor. Defend their dignity. Whatever it is, that's what successful relationships look like.